Morning, everybody. I have my wife's glasses because I forgot mine, so if I look funny, don't make fun of me. Father, just thank you for this opportunity today to come and bring your word. Father, just speak through me. And if you allow someone to get something out of it, Father, I will be most grateful. Amen. I'm not going to give you the title of this until I get started down the road. But just started 2 weeks ago or so in Sunday school when we were reading in Matthew, and I looked at Matthew 20, 18 and 19, which says, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. And I saw that, and I thought to myself, I wonder what the disciples were thinking. They've been walking with the Lord for 3 years. Now all of a sudden, he's telling them, I'm out of here, I'm gone. So what are we going to do? They're probably sitting there thinking, what am I going to do now? I've seen a lot of things. I've done a lot of things, but I don't have anybody to really keep me going. And I thought about the last line of that scripture where it says, on the third day he will be raised to life. And I thought to myself, they never heard that. The only thing they heard is he's going to be crucified and die. So I thought to myself again, well, that can't be that easy. You know, they couldn't have been that naive not to have heard the last word where even though he's crucified, he's coming back. So I went a little deeper and I looked in Mark. I shouldn't say that, not in Mark, but in Luke 18, 31 to 34. And it says, we're going to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. And he'll be delivered over to the Gentiles. They'll mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They'll flog him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. And then verse 34 kind of really got it. It says, the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. Well, title this sermon is choices. See, they had a choice to understand it, but they only heard the bad part of it. They didn't hear the really good part of it, that he will be back in 3 days. Not a lifetime, 3 days. And yet they were afraid that they would never understand what their life was going, what their life was destined to be. And they had a chance to make some choices in their life. Now I'm here to say and ask, has anybody in this room made a choice on about something and not understand the full meaning of what the situation is? Just made one on the spur of the moment because I didn't understand that maybe the end game or the ending or whatever the situation that you're going through in sight is in sight, but you can't see it. I can tell you, I've done it a lot of times. See, but that's what the Lord's trying to tell us. The end game for the Lord was not the day he died on the cross. The end game for the Lord is the return in 3 days. See, we have an end game. We can pick and choose because God's given us the spirit of a free will to pick and choose what we want to do. But that's where choices come in. Do we make the right choice? Do we make the wrong choice? Do we make the what we think is the right choice? Or not make a choice at all because of fear? How many people have done that? I've done it. Not do anything because I'm afraid of what the heck's going to happen. See, the Lord wants us to make choices. But the choice he wants us to make is to follow him. See, we talk about trust and relationship with the Lord and his church a lot, a whole lot. But I'm telling you, when it comes down to it and it gets really tough, sometimes that's really hard. Because all we can see is what's right in front of us or what we didn't hear. We have to have eyes to see and ears to hear and an open heart and an open mind to hear him speak to us. That's why it's so important for us to have that relationship with the Lord, because if we have the relationship with him, he'll instill that in us, that we can hear the still small voice in our minds or in our hearts of what we should do. Should I pick A or should I pick B? Should I pick A that I try and do it on my own? Or should I pick B that I should rely on God to help me to get through it? A's the easy way. Because usually if you pick A, you've already done something. And it might not be the right thing. If you pick B, you might have to wait for the answer. See, our walk with the Lord is not always going to be easy. But the one thing we do understand and we do know is if we rely on him, it may not be easy, but the outcome will be the right one. That's why choices are so important in our life, because we have the opportunity to pick A or B. I've made many, many choices in my life on emotion. Because of whatever the situation might be. And it's usually not very good. And I've done a lot of them, and I paid for a lot of them. But I've learned more and more as I keep walking with the Lord, which this journey, and I'll be 79 in 3 weeks, I'm still on. And I'm not going to get off until the end. And hopefully the end is where I see him again. And I know I will. So, you know, if we've got the free will to make the choices that we have to make during the world, you know, a lot of them are simple. Let's be honest. You walk down the aisle and you pick something off the shelf at the grocery store, stuff like that. But what about the hard stuff? What about the family situations or the health situations or the financial situations or even the spiritual situations in our life? Those are the ones that are hard because we're trying to make decisions that include someone else. And they may not be the decisions that need to be made for someone else. They need to be made by us, for us. See, our free will is our free will. Their free will is their free will. They can make their own choices. I like what Mark talked about last week when he was talking about the book and he was talking about Mari and how Mari wakes up every morning and, you know, has his cup of coffee and he, you know, and here's a guy who knows that his physical life is going to end pretty quickly. But he wakes up every day with the spirit of, I'm still alive. I've still got something to live for. Do you do that? I do. I wake up every morning. And I say, thank you, Lord, for another day. And when I go to bed at night, I say, thank you for this day, and I hope you give me another one. Because you know something? I want another one. But if it's in his will that I don't have one, that's okay too. See, my mom and dad both died at a real young age, and my dad died instantly. He had a brain aneurysm driving a car. And he died the moment it hit him. So, he, you know, there was no long, drawn-out thing like my mom, who died of cancer, which was about a 4 or 5 year deal. So we don't know. We don't know what God's got in store for us. But we can trust that it's the right thing. And if we can keep giving him all the praise and glory for the good times that we have, we certainly should be giving him the praise and glory for the bad times, even though it's not easy to do. Because, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 is one of my favorite verses. I have plans for you for a future and for you to prosper. Well, if I'm going to have a future and I'm going to prosper, I'm relying that he's going to give me that. He's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for everybody sitting in this room. And it's our responsibility to make the choice, do we want to go with the plan or do we just want to try and wing it? Winging it don't fly. I like Mari's optimism. You know, he had nothing to be optimistic about. But he could only see the good things that kept coming in his life. Mitch coming over on Tuesdays to see him. Somebody else coming over another day to see him. He could only see the good things. You know, there are many, many, I won't say many, many, but there are scriptures in the Bible about people who made choices that could have gone wrong. Matter of fact, they did go wrong. Look at Jonah. God told him, you go to Nineveh. Jonah said, nah, I ain't doing that. I don't want nothing to do with Nineveh. You know, that was his choice. He made the choice not to go. Well, we can see how that worked out. Ended up in the belly of a fish and ended up in Nineveh anyhow. And what about Peter? When they were coming to get Jesus to crucify him. And he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. And as soon as the heat got turned up and they started asking him, he's one of them, what'd he say? I don't know him. Never saw him before. You think Peter regretted that choice? I'd say he did. You think that might have been an emotional choice? Probably. Fear of what's going to happen to him. I'm going to tell you a story here. And it's about somebody I know. And a guy was about 35 years old. He was 35 years old when this happened. And he had custody of a 3-year-old son. He had no job, little income, nowhere to live. And he was relying on his wiles to figure out what he was going to do with his life. This guy's pretty close to me. Get by, he almost ended up in jail. And made lots of mistakes. Lots of bad choices to survive. Made them all on emotion. But he did make one decision. And that decision was to pray to the Lord, to reach out and ask the Lord for help. And he had no relationship with God whatsoever at the time. None. But somehow, through the grace of God, things started happening. He found a stable place to live, got a job. His son needed babysitting in preschool. He ended up getting a scholarship for the preschool for his son. And another lady who lived right across the street babysat him. All these things came to pass, not because he made the choice to give it all to the Lord. He just begged the Lord, basically, get me out of this rut so I can get on with my life. Lo and behold, God answered his prayers and showing him his grace and mercy. And he found out, got all the things he was asking for. And then he started saying more prayers. But he still didn't have a relationship with the Lord. He still wasn't showing gratitude. He was just saying, I'm past that one now. Let's go on and see what happens next. See, he didn't realize God had put him on the path to the relationship he needed to be with the Lord. And he didn't even understand that. Then about 3 years later, he ended up in Winton Woods on a Friday night at a place that he shouldn't have been on a Friday night. He should have been out partying with his buddies. But he ended up in a place where he shouldn't have been because somebody dragged him out there. I'm not going to mention names. And he got to see some things that he never saw before in his life. And he got to make choices of what was going to happen in his life. He started making choices spiritually for his life that he never made before. Didn't understand it. Didn't know, didn't want to try to understand it. Didn't care to understand it. But he was doing it subconsciously. And he didn't realize what was going on. And then lo and behold, he came to the Lord. You see, that guy was me. I went from basically being on the street with a 3-year-old son and no hope whatsoever. And yet, God gave me hope because I humbled myself at least enough to ask him for his help. And I made the choice out of fear, to be honest with you, because I didn't know what else to do. How many times do we do that? See, we have plenty of opportunities to make the right choices and to rely on the Lord. And that's, for me, it's so important. I've learned a lot over the years. I've learned that there are some things that no matter what I ask for, I'm not going to get the answer because it doesn't involve who what I have to be involved in. It's none of my business. Sometimes I've get the answer, I find a way to be of help, show compassion. We were talking about that this morning, weren't we, Brenda? Compassion is a big deal. You know, that's the Lord's way of showing you, of you showing other people what the Lord can do for them. And they need to know that. There are a lot of people out there that need to know that. And I've been very fortunate to be where I am today, to be able to stand here before you and talk like this, which is scary as heck to me. I'll admit it. As I've said before, I ain't no preacher. But I can tell you a story, and I can tell you stories about me and how God's moved in my life, and I can give you testimony upon testimony of things he's done for me way before I ever knew him, and how he saved my life more than one time, and I mean that literally, because of when I was young. But you know something? I never could make the right choices. I always thought they were the right choices, but I never looked at the end game. Never looked at what could be at the end. You know, if we're believing in the Lord, even if the end doesn't have a good end, seem like a good ending here, it can be a good ending spiritually. And we need to be ready for that, to accept that. See, I want to accept everything he gives me, the good times, the bad times, and everything in between. And I get to do that. I live a very easy life right now. I get to come home every day, wake up every day, do what I want to do. My wife lets me go out and mess around, play golf. Excuse me. I come home, she's always cooking something good for dinner. But you know something? If you ask her, she'll tell you. I used to say all the time, I'll never be able to do that. I've said that more times to her than I can shake a stick. I used to say to her, even this, I'd say, I'll be dead by the time I'm 55. Because both my parents died, you're real young. I never thought I'd make it past the age of 55. And I was telling Brenda today in Sunday school, my brother and I have outlived every member of my family, of our family. Now, is that God moving in my life? Absolutely. Did I expect it growing up? Or even in the middle of my life when I was on my early journey walking with the Lord, still didn't expect it. But I am here, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the people in this room that I have the opportunity to see every Sunday and get to know and, you know, Mark and I were talking yesterday, and the church right now is going through a really tough time. But he and I have both made the choice that this is what we're going to do right now, one step at a time, and see what happens. Because we both believe, and we both know, if God wanted to put 100 people in the seats tomorrow, he'd do it. See, our choice is to trust him. And that's what we're doing. And I trust him in everything I do in my life. Even my golf game. Although, 2 weeks ago, I did throw a club. But that was out of frustration. So let's make sure we know the whole story before we decide what we're going to do. Listen to the still voice of the Lord. Rely on him for our choices. Keep your spiritual self aligned with God's will for our life. And let him lead you on your journey to him. That's my desire for everybody in this room. And I hope we can all agree on that and decide that that's what we want to do with our lives. Because if we're doing that to the best of our ability, because we're not going to do it all right every time, I think we're all going to have a pretty good life. So make good choices. Look at the big picture and keep on believing. Thank you. Now, before everybody goes, we got the results of the survey. The majority of people say we should stay open. But there were a good percentage of people who thought that maybe we ought to split it up, a couple of sermons and a couple of Bible studies a month. And we got to talking about that, and we've decided we're going to stay open, but we thought in starting on the 1st of September, first Sunday in September, we'll do one Bible study a month and then three messages the rest of the month. And we'll see how that goes for a while. And we're still open to suggestions because this is a hard decision. This is a real hard decision. And I never thought I'd be involved in something like this, but here I am. So I'm relying, I'm making my choice. You know where my choice is today. And that's with God helping me to get through it. So think about what it is, how you might want to format this Bible study. If you got any ideas, let Mark and I know. We're open to people who might want to help lead it. And with that, I'll say we're done. Next Sunday? Sure, we can do that.
Some kind of volunteer event, maybe like once every 3 months or so.
Yeah.
Talk about what that might look like.
Yeah. And let's remember, we got to look at the end game here. We know we're in a struggle right now, but let's look at the end and see what God's got to do. He's gonna show us. What he wants us to do, you know? And we have to accept what he's going to show us, no matter what it is. But we still have the opportunity to make choices to try and do his will. So let's do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Taco Bell.
People can let us know what they want to bring.
Let me pray here. Father, thank you for this opportunity today to share this message. And Father, I just thank you for the congregation we have. And for all of the faith that flows through this building from the people we have in this building. Father, I know that you're moving in each one of our lives. And Father, you're going to show us the way to go forward with this church. And we're going to accept your will. And Father, we just want to give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.